Hey, church, as you make your way back in, look at a neighbor and say, I am glad. I don't believe you. Try it again. Say, I am glad that you are here. Now look at somebody and say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's right. You may have a seat. Welcome to worship this morning. Hey, good morning, church. Welcome to worship. We are glad you are here. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm the pastor here at Royal Oak First United Methodist Church. And on behalf of our entire staff, our laity, our leaders, we just welcome each and every one of you to worship this morning. Hear us loud and clear. We are glad that you are here. There are lots of places you could be right now. Bed is one of them, right? I am glad that of all the places you could be, you chose to be here in God's house, among God's people. And let me just assure you that we need you here this morning. Your presence makes a difference. So we are glad you are here. And as we say each and every Sunday here at Royal Oak First, if you don't hear anything else, hear this loud and clear. God does love you, and there is nothing you can do about that. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've been through. We are glad you are here. And that love we want you to take out of this place. In a moment, our ushers will be coming down. They're going to pass out our ritual of friendship pads among the congregation. That's your chance to record your attendance with us. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, please make special note of that. I'd like to know so I can just extend a special welcome to you during the midst of the week. I want to invite everyone after the service to join us down in the fellowship hall where we've got coffee and cookies and refreshments waiting for you. And we just want to continue the conversations after the service. Did we lose? There he is. He's over there at the soundboard. Mark Thatcher has been out of worship for the last month recovering from some illness. And he's mad at me right now. Mark, we're glad you're home. Welcome home. Yeah. He's like, look at that. He's already over there helping. So he's like, I'll knock it off, Pastor. I'm going back to the balcony if you do that again. So welcome home, Mark. We're glad you're here. Friends, I got a couple of announcements. As always, make sure you check out the bulletin. There's more going on in the life of the church than we can handle in any one service. But we want to just highlight a couple of things that we want you to make note of. First and foremost, we are in the midst of our sermon series called Faith in Film. This is that time of year when the best movies are out. Everybody's talking about, did you see this or did you see that? And we wanted to say, we want to be talking about those films that people are talking about all around the culture. Today, we are going to be talking about Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Somebody's fired up over here. That's right. That's our very own Princess Leia over here, right? She's ready to do that. This next week, we're learning some things as we do this, that when we talk to the movies theaters in December, what they think is going to be there in mid-January changes. So our movies change this week. So this week's movie on Tuesday is going to be this movie, Sing. Come and see what a talking elephant, a punk rock porcupine, and a koala bear who is organizing a singing competition has to teach you about faith. You're not convinced. Come. It's really good. It's really good. It's wonderful. It's cute. It's this Tuesday, 6:55 showing. It's at the, we've reserved seats at the Star AMC Theater on 12 Mile and Telegraph. Tickets are only $5. Only $5? I know. It's crazy. And kids 12 and under are free. So come, grab your grandkids, grab a neighbor kid. Make sure you know the kid, but bring them. You know, I don't want the police showing up going like, some crazy person from Royal Oak just grabbed my kid and said, come, you'll like this movie. But come and see this film, and that's what we'll be talking about next week. The following week, we're going to go see Hidden Figures. It's a must-see movie of the season. I saw it. It's wonderful. And then we're going to end with a movie called La La Land, right? Best date movie of the year, right? Except I didn't go with my wife, I went with my son. So, but it was wonderful. So go check out, we'll be doing that. The only last announcement I have for the good of the community, we've talked about it the last couple weeks. In your bulletin, you'll find some information about our Leadership Day next Saturday. That is open to everybody from the congregation. Come. We are experiencing a revival here at Royal Oak First. Numbers are up, giving is up, mission is up, and we don't want to waste this opportunity. So let's come spend the afternoon together. My friend and colleague Rick Dake will be there to help us grab a hold of what God is doing here at Royal Oak First. Those are all the announcements I have for the good of the community, and with that, I turn.
This morning's scripture is from Isaiah 49. Listen to me, coastlands. Pay attention, peoples far away. The Lord called me before my birth, called my name when I was in my mother's womb. He made my mouth like a sharp sword and hid me in the shadow of God's own hand. He made me a sharpened arrow and concealed me in God's quiver, saying to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I show my glory." But I said, "I have wearied myself in vain. I have used up my strength for nothing. Nevertheless, the Lord will grant me justice. My reward is with my God." And now the Lord has decided, the one who formed me from the womb as his servant, to restore Jacob to God, so that Israel might return to him. Moreover, I am honored in the Lord's eyes. My God has become my strength. He said, "It is not enough, since you are my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the survivors of Israel. Hence, I will also appoint you as light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth."
Thank you. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a spoiler alert. That's right, this is the first week of four where we explore the connections between films that are currently in theaters and those... Sorry about that nasty noise. And our life of faith. Any luck, Joe? All right. Worth a shot. Sorry about the noise. You'll get over it. Hey, so... there's an 11:30 showing. If you've missed and you're really concerned that you might be spoiled for this film, so you can listen to this later on in the week online. If you really need to run out of here, now's your chance. And those of you with a keen eye may have noticed that I am something of a Star Wars fan. And even though I was born after the original trilogy came out, I was raised on this stuff. I mean, I know that Han shot first. I know the difference between Mon Mothma and the Mon Calamari. I mean, I was there on opening night for every one of the prequels. I still savor that moment when in 1999, there on the screen came Lucasfilm, and everybody went silent. And it went a long time ago, and it popped up on the screen, and applause rocks through the house. And I was there on opening night for each of the following films, including Episode 7, and just this last December, my poor choir had to deal with me wearing my Jedi robes. Oh no, my proper ones, not these, these are my... off-day ropes. And in Rogue One, I had the chance to meet a new protagonist. Her name is Jyn Erso, and like Luke Skywalker before her, she comes from a rough background. She's orphaned, abandoned, and imprisoned by age 18. Those of you who just thought to yourself, well, not really orphaned. Same with Luke Skywalker. And she's understandably ticked at the world. You know, she trusts no one, lives for herself, lives for the day. And she reminds me a lot of some women I knew back at the Massachusetts Correctional Institution in Framingham, which is a medium security prison for women. And during seminary, I had the opportunity to be part of a collaborative course held inside the prison walls, where half the students were incarcerated and half were Harvard students. And then there was me. And I was this weirdo in the middle. And this was one of the most powerful experiences of my life, because each woman who was incarcerated carried her own story. Most stories involved poverty, abusive relationships, addiction, other mental health challenges. And these tales that they carried left visible and invisible scars. Because somewhere along the line, in the lives of each of these students, society decided that they could no longer be trusted with their freedom, whether for a few years or the rest of their lives. And these women struggled each day, working for 20 cents an hour to save up enough to pay off their court fees, their fines, hopefully scrape together something to send home to their families and their kids. But despite that, each week as we made our way through security and pat-downs and the x-ray machines and all that, we arrived to hospitality. See, because there we were handed lightsabers. There we go. You see, at the prison commissary, prices are inflated 200 to 300%. And when you're making 20 cents an hour, this lifesaver is an hour of work. But at the beginning of that class, as we walk in from the outside, having had our Dunkin' Donuts coffee and our real Boston experience, we were offered these gifts. And shoot, even if I didn't want one, there is no way in the world I'm going to turn down that gift. Because I'm honored to receive it. And when you receive that, you can feel in the room the power dynamic shift. And just like those lifesavers, the class was a chance for each woman to lift her head just a little bit more. Because in this class, her story mattered. In this class, she was trusted. In this class, even though the world had rejected her over and over again, somebody cared. Now, after watching this film three times, I finally noticed that Jin, her entire plotline depends on one little lifesaver moment. See, in her fear and mistrust, Jin gets a hold of a weapon. And even while she's surrounded by folks who she thinks of as her friends, or maybe she doesn't, in the rebellion, it's worth a shot. Help me out. Even while she's surrounded by these friends, she feels the need to protect herself. And at first, Cassian, the morally ambiguous good guy, demands it back from her. But she says this beautiful line. You remember it? Trust goes both ways. Trust goes both ways. And giving her the weapon is not a rational thing to do, as K2SO reminds us right there. It is not a simple thing to do, to hand a weapon to somebody else. But in that moment, in that lifesaver moment, she becomes trusted. She becomes valued, and the seeds of a greater hope are planted. See, Cassian takes a risk right there, and it begins a transformation, but that by the end of the next film has saved the galaxy. You catching this? Because I've seen lifesaver moments here, too. I've seen guests of our lunch program called by their name, and then cared for, and then literally entrusted with the keys to God's house. See, I've seen folks battle addiction, depression, and all kinds of burdens, and then get invited to walk up here and lead us in worship. See, and I'm not just talking about our Thursday as we gather service, though the saints who do that are the leaders for all of us. See, this is what makes church different from Rotary or the Elks or any other group you're part of, is that we take a risk on everyone who walks in these doors. Everyone. See, we show each person that they matter. We trust that God will turn this irrational act into seeds of hope. You see, these moments may not save the galaxy in 2.5 hours, but I tell you, we are thirsty. Thirsty for a community that cares. And that's what's going on in our scripture. You heard that scripture that Faye read for us. It's a little hard to follow, I know. But it's a poem from the book of Isaiah. And the book as a whole tells the story of the exile of the Hebrew people when their little kingdom was taken over by the mighty Babylonian Empire. And that's in the 6th century BCE. And you see, an entire nation was turned into refugees almost overnight. And they were resettled in a far land with a different religion, different language and culture. And this trauma is where some of the Bible's deepest songs of lament come from. Like Psalm 137, alongside Babylon's streams, there we sat down, crying because we remembered Zion. We hung our lyres up in the trees there because that's where our captors asked us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing us a song of Zion, they said. How could we possibly sing the Lord's songs on foreign soil? You see, this is a people driven from their homes, imprisoned and forced to labor. In every way, they are shown that they don't matter. Have you ever been told you don't matter? Are you in exile? No. Has someone shown you? Was it beaten into you with words or fists? Did your mom tell you you're worthless? Did your neighbor pretend like you don't exist? Did your church show you that you are not welcome? If so, you are in exile. But listen again to what that poem in Isaiah said, with some slight alteration. Listen up, Royal Oak. Pay attention. everybody everywhere. Before I was born, God gave me a name and a purpose. I'm a powerful weapon hidden in the holster. And God said to me, you are my servant. And in you, people will see my amazingness. But I said, I suck. I wasted everything and have been selfish at every turn. But I know my purpose and my reward are with you, God. And now God says, remember, God who formed me in the womb for the purpose of setting my people free and gives me the strength to do so, God says, oh, it's not enough. It's not enough for you to just bring back everyone to where they were. I will give you as a light to the world, that my freedom may reach every single person on earth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Every single person on earth.
Amen.
Everyone in exile, you matter, because you can set others free as well. You matter beyond that too, don't get me wrong. And this isn't some nostalgic, self-centered command to make everything great again for us. This is for everyone. See, everyone, if you've ever been rejected, if you've ever been told you're not worthy, that you don't matter, that you don't get God's love, then listen up. Because I've got good news. God loves you, and there's not a thing you can do to change it. Thank you. It sounds good, right? Oh, sorry, you want to back it up here? God loves you. And there's not a thing you can do to change God's love. Amen. This sounds good, but I have been called naive before. Can we actually live it? This kind of radical hospitality, this kind of radical salvation is risky. See, if we let everyone in, someone might smell bad. If we let everyone in, someone might talk in the middle of worship. If we let everyone in, someone might be drunk and throw up in our precious parlor. You see, if we let everyone in, someone might steal from our jackets that we leave outside. Someone might steal from the church. Oh, no. And it's kind of like the same trouble we're having with this mass incarceration. You see, there are over 2 million men, women, and children currently behind bars in our nation. Mostly poor, mostly people of color. And pretty much everyone in America agrees that we want fewer people in our prisons and jails, but giving their freedom is taking a risk. See, what sensible politician would release 1,000 people when just one of them reoffending will end that politician's career? You see, it's easier to keep everyone in exile. It's easier to hand them over to private prisons where we don't have to think about it. It's easier than setting them free, because that is a risk. And it's just that kind of irrational, nonsensical risk that Jesus was always talking about. All right? You see, Jesus healed 10 lepers, even though only one of them came back and thanked him. See, Jesus healed on the Sabbath, even when it upset all the proper folks who were there in church already. See, Jesus welcomed soldiers and Samaritans and sex workers and slaves, and he even, if they weren't going to let it get in the way, welcomed the rich. You see, Jesus took irrational risks. Jesus took irrational risks on you and me. And we call this risk hope. You hear me? That irrational risk on somebody else's hope. See, when Cassie entrusted Jin with that blaster, it gave her the power to see beyond herself. And with this newfound hope, Jin was able to pay it forward. By the end of the movie, she's handing that blaster to someone else. You remember this? And with that hope, she winds up laying down her very life to send a message of salvation to the world, to the galaxy, without even knowing if it got through. You see, not only are rebellions built on hope, hope is a rebellion. Say that again. Hope is a rebellion. See, rebellion is a refusal to cooperate with the system that's currently in charge. And hope is refusal to cooperate with evil. See, hope is refusing to be silent in the face of injustice. Anybody here for Martin Luther King weekend? I will not be silent in the face of injustice. I will rebel with hope. Hope is refusing to let death have the last word. So here's your question today. Are you ready to be part of this rebellion? Are you ready to take a risk on a lifesaver moment? Are you ready to give up your own aspirations and welcome somebody else? Are you ready to set the prisoner free, whether from behind bars or from their own exile? Are you ready to stand up and to let God's love shine through you? Are you ready to lay down everything that you have and everything that you are to send out this message of hope into this world and beyond? That's right. I mean it. Are you ready to stand up right here? Are you ready to stand up right here and let your light shine? Show me what you got. See, this is where we get to sing those songs that we learned in our childhood, or maybe not, and they suddenly have new meaning. Because are you ready to shine out your light in the world and say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine.
Amen. Hit it, Debbie.